04 JQI Mobile.
04 JQI W4 VX. Good morning. Name here is Chris. Also Mobile.
Good morning. Name here is Joe. Awesome. Just headed down the road. Just put a new antenna on, just making sure everything's working correctly.
Loud and clear, full quieting. How am I making the repeater? I'm out here on Highway 49. I think I'm in Spartanburg now, County.
You sound pretty good. You got a little bit of a little crackle in the back. I don't know if that's coming from the repeater. It's been doing that lately, but no, you sound great.
Do with the new antenna on the car, so I had to size it up a little bit. The old quarter wave I was running wasn't cutting it for the distances that I commute.
Oh, I understand that. I actually just put mine on yesterday as well. I replaced one, so put on a shark fin with a tri-band. So it seems, I guess it's working pretty well. So, shark fin is, say, if you look on top of some of these newer cars, they have a fin that they use for their radio antenna instead of the conventional antenna. So, mine has a shark fin that carries 5G data and then and GPS, LTE information. And then on the back of it, it has a 18-inch antenna that carries the tri-band antenna.
It's pretty close to a quarter wave on two then. And, okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about now that I've seen them. I guess the name's pretty appropriate.
Oh, yeah. And this is, I do emergency communications for a large municipality in the area, and so they equipped me with everything, and I had an antenna on there that was huge, so we just downgraded a little bit and pulled down size to see how it would work out.
And also, you can plug that into 5G, and how does that interface with your cell phone or device?
It hooks into the cradle point that's in the back of my car. There's a cradle point in the next to the radio, actually, that turns my car into a hotspot, basically. And that's, I have a DMR hotspot that's hooked in. And then, it's actually pretty neat. It's hooked into an MDT port and all that.
It just acts like a hotspot. That's pretty slick. And with a big antenna, even better. And then you said it also does GPS. So how does that I guess you have a separate GPS unit or a tablet or something?
Normally you'd have, like, public safety vehicles. You see the computers that the officers and fire trucks have in their cars. Those are hooked to a dock system, and those docks have GPS ports come into the back of them so that they don't have to use the internal GPS from their air cards. So it hooks into that and allows for the GPS to run through.
Yeah, that's a full suite of gear right there. That's pretty neat. I suppose you could do that on the civilian side, too, with a little finagling.
Absolutely. If you take a jetpack from a MiFi jetpack or anything like that, adapt it to an outside antenna, which those have antenna ports on them, and then mount that into your car, you can use it the same way. You'll still get your GPS and everything through that.
Well, KO4JQI W4VX. Well, I just got onto 385, so I start the speedy part of my commute.
Can't beat that. At least the speed goes up just a little bit. I'm still wandering out of the mountains down towards town.
We're on the repeater this morning. Yesterday it was rock solid. Better check this antenna thing, make sure it's not on my end. But, are you coming down from the mountains, you said?
Oh, yeah, I just live in northern Greenville County. But no, the fluttering's not on your end. It's I'm hearing it as well.
I checked SWR and everything on it when I set it up, but you know, this is like my, like I said, second day using this antenna on this radio. So I don't think I bought a mobile antenna in the last 20 years, and boy, did I have sticker shock.
Oh, absolutely. No, on my personal vehicle, the one I bought for that, I was just, this is, it's outrageous.
With a couple of coils, for goodness sake. I say that like I could make it, and I can't, but it just doesn't seem it ought to be that much.
No, you're correct. Especially when you're used to, like, my home rig is just, you know, some 12-gauge wire hanging from a tree. So, you know, it's, that's what cost me, like, $5.
I've got a couple of homemade J-poles and, gosh, what's the name of that other version of a J-pole? It looks like a C instead of just a C, or like a U on the top and a U on the bottom, and I can't remember the name of that antenna. But all copper, plumbing, hardware-based, and we're great.
KO4JQ, Wi-Fi ID. No, absolutely. I haven't tried my hand at making a J-pole yet. I use just the regular dipole, not dipole, but ground plane design. Piece of wire up and then four down, and I'm usually get about 20 miles out of it on a simplex. It's about 30 feet in the air.
Shortwave ground plane works great. Awesome antennas. And yeah, I've used them in the past as well. You know, you kind of make them out of an SO239 with, like you said, one vertical and four bent down a little bit.
We've had great success with a Cobra clip in the middle, and you just hook it up and ready to go.
Years ago, back in college, I had a quarter wave that I would stick out the window on the sixth floor of the dorm on a little 1x2 held down by books. It worked pretty good.
It gets the job done. That's actually interesting. We I know that Mercy Management for Pickens County actually made kits. Because they use mostly VHF. They have a few 800 radios, but mainly just VHF. And they build kits with a little quarter wave antenna in them and some paracord they could put up in a tree and be able to get out during search and rescue missions in the mountains.
Yep. That's nice to have as a backup in your pocket for sure. I guess our version would be the roll-up TV twin lead J-pole.
Exactly, but they've had some success with it. They've had a few helicopter rescues up there where they've had to throw the antenna up in a tree and make contact with the bird, and it seemed to work really well.
Part of that is, obviously, they have some training in how to do that, which seems a little atypical.
Absolutely. No, we put them through a little kind of a one-day class on how to actually put everything together, throw them up and, you know, connect everything up. We give them the kit that has all the connectors, your barrel connectors, everything like that. And, you know, it's pretty simple to operate once they get the hang of it.
For sure. Back in my Aries Racy's days, working with the county I used to live in Virginia, yeah, there wasn't a lot of depth when it came to radio comms. You had, like, one guy, and that was it. And so it was fun working with them and getting behind the scenes a little bit and all that good stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. That's, most places, you know, they don't get in depth. Like, around here, they use the 800 system, so most of the radio people, that's what they're dealing in. But you take, like, places like Colleton County, each one of their fire officers on a truck has to have at least a technician's license because they have a handband radio in each truck for emergency comms.
It's amazing how they do everything with 800 megahertz throughout the state. That had to be expensive. That must have took a lot of towers to make that work on 800 megahertz.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you take Greenville County, they've got five towers alone. And then, which each agency does have to pay a subscriber fee, so you're paying $30 per radio to have that radio on the system because they issue a trunking ID.
All digital and encrypted these days.
KO4 JQF ready. Not all of them. I mean, you have select, pretty much select agencies that have encryption, but most of them operate in the open.
New trunk scanner since they first came out. So they weren't digital, it was all analog. But, yeah, okay, I didn't realize that. I kind of stayed away from buying a new trunk scanner because of that. But, I'll have to look into it.
Yeah, it's surprising how many are not encrypted. Most of your law enforcement agencies, I think there's only like 5 or 6 in the state that are actually staying under encryption. Most of your fire departments are, due to mutual aid issues, are not encrypted. All the way around. I mean, it's first phase D25 or TDMA. They're looking at going to second phase in, I think, about 6 years.
D25, there's plenty of scanners out there for that these days. I think even some hams play around with it, don't they?
I know some of them do play around with it on the, like, the Motorola or the turbo systems and stuff like that, or the Moto Turbo digital systems.
And remember, Moto Turbo.
Yep.
Yeah, well, like yesterday we were talking about getting into DMR, which I haven't done yet, but I've been thinking about. So that was a good discussion, kind of getting up to speed a little bit on that. Yeah, years ago, I mean, when trunk scanners first became available, I bought the first one that came out, and it's kind of striking how, well, now you kind of have to kind of, you know, their version of a code plug back then was setting up the system manually on your scanner so that you had the right control frequencies and all that stuff so it would follow the trunk signals correctly. But kind of similar, a little bit.
Absolutely. Now they have the ones where you just, it picks up a GPS signal, you hit the program button, and it pulls in all the trunking channels and analog channels for that area. It's actually pretty neat.
For VX, for ID. I saw, was it Unitin again that had the home alert scanner or something like that that automatically sucked everything off the internet and put it into your scanner? I thought that was pretty cool.
There's some of them that, and I don't get too much into the scanners, but I know there's some of them that as you travel, it'll change your coordinates. It'll pull them in as you go. So it's actually pretty neat.
It was very useful to have a scanner in the car back in the day because of with the area I lived in, and you could listen to the Department of Transportation frequencies and tell when there were major accidents or the drawbridges were going to open and all that good stuff. So it kind of helped you manage your commute.
Absolutely, yeah, that's useful all the way around. They've come a long ways with those things. The day of just using the conventional and the regular things like that. And then you get into the PD25 and the TDMA and splitting channels and all that. So it's come a long ways.
KN4 VWA.
KN4 VWA, W4 VX with K04 JQI. I think I got that right. On the side. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, heard you guys talking about some of the digital modes there this morning. I tell you what, made some real progress last night on my DMR. And I've actually got some pretty good stuff. Well, anyhow, on the 2 meter and some of that stuff, I've got all of that pretty much squared away now. And I went over to a site that that fella gave us yesterday, and it's working out good.
Website?
Yes, sir. I got on there and I found that video he was referring to, and That is good. That's about the best thing I've seen on there to kind of put DMR into its proper ladder structure and so that you can understand it better that I've seen out there. There's a bunch of YouTube junk.
It's great, and sometimes it's not. Over to you, Joe. K04RQIW4VX. Congratulations, Steve. Listen, I got into DMR a couple years ago, and I kind of went nuts with it for a little while, and I like every portion of it. I have two hot spots, one mounted in my car and the other one mounted at home, and I usually stay on the TGIF network. I had Brandmeister on there for a little while, but I enjoy it. I enjoy being able to talk to other people from other states, especially during major events and things like that.
By the SC Hart?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have a VHF radio in my car that I have for the PRN network and all those. What's cool about the SC Hart is if there's ever a large event in South Carolina, they will actually cut the connection to the PRN network, and it becomes a standalone DMR network just for South Carolina, Aries and all that.
Wow, that's cool. That's cool. Now, did you ever try working without a hotspot in your vehicle and just going directly to a DMR repeater?
Absolutely. It works. I've never had an issue. I can hit the one. Actually, I actually hit the one in Spartanburg better than I hit the one in Greenville. It's over on Paris Mountain. But, yeah, no issues. I use it every now and then.
Fantastic. What I've got is a D578 UV, UV2, and that's what I'm going to go ahead and put in my vehicle and see how I can do with the DMR off of it directly to a repeater or two. And I'm going to try the SC Hart network.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you shouldn't have a problem with that. And then if you wanted to, you could program your different zones for the areas you travel, so you could actually program in the PRNs for, you know, the frequencies for Spartanburg, Greenville, Lawrence, and as you travel through the state.
That's the plan. So, anyhow, how long did it take you to really get up a full understanding without help on yours?
Some of the stuff I'm still trying to understand. I don't think I ever really fully grasp everything that's going on, but I had experience with programming trunking radios before using calls, IDs, and things like that, so it kind of came a little bit easier, but just trying to grasp my whole head around the contacts and the contact numbers and things like that took a minute.
Well, on and off, I think I've probably got about 6 hours into trying to research and find material and online information, and I've got about, I would say, six hours into this so far, and I really thought I should have picked up on it quicker, but I have found that the DMR info that's out there is sorely lacking in its explanations.
No, absolutely it is. But you're taking a commercial system and you're bringing it over to the amateur side. So a lot of, you know, it's based on a Motorola system, a Moto Turbo system, basically. And, you know, Motorola doesn't give out a lot of their information on how everything works. If you're used to doing conventional, non-digital information, it's definitely a change when you have to start building your groups, your call groups, your IDs, and all that. But if you just think of it as that number being an individual phone number for each, like, say, each tower site, and you're just adding that contact into your radio, into those radio groups for that phone number. And it kind of goes in that direction.
Well, listen, right now I've got a home zone that I've labeled home. And I've got my 2-meter repeaters in there. I'm not restricted putting a DMR repeater in there with that group, am I?
Now, I'm not. What kind of radio are you using? I use pretty much all Motorola DMR stuff. I know that if I do a, you can do a digital DMR frequency or channel, contact channel in that template in that same zone with Motorola. So I believe when you go to pick out what kind of channel you're creating, you either pick digital or analog, and that determines how it's going to be used inside that zone.
Comment.
Jump in.
KO4HKX. Steve, you can mix analog and digital in the same zone on that 878.
How about on the 578?
It's the same thing. You can mix it.
Fantastic. I may... Man, you need to come by and see my radio. The original programming in there, he had more stuff in there. He had like... It had 900 channels on it. Jump in.
Even a group, KN4CHY, Keith over here in Seneca. I was going to say, Steve, typically the way I set mine up is strictly preference. If I have the DMR on the A side and the analog on the B side. Over.
Hey, yeah. I hadn't thought about that. Matter of fact, I could just set up a separate zone for home analog and in home digital. And I could just work off of the two of those two zones, and I'd be happier to pick and slot.
Patrick would probably confirm once you get this down as far as the concept of getting it programmed, get everything in there. I spent probably anywhere from 3 to 6 months tweaking, how I use the radio. Well, this doesn't work with, this channel that I use a lot is way down the list, so I want to move that one up. And so you'll spend months tweaking that stuff, and then once you finally get it all settled, you'll never touch it again.
Well, listen, y'all carry on. Keep this thing, this little round table going, because I'm learning off of what you guys are saying. I didn't know it had any kind of linked Motorola turbo.
Basically, that's what the system is based off of, is Motorola turbo system.
The DMR is European, and Moto Turbo basically took that and did some proprietary and now it's coming back down to DMR for the ham. That's about all I know about that. Anyway, I'm going to be getting to work here in just a few minutes, so I just wanted to jump in and throw that in there. If you've got the basic concept down, you're good to go. It'll be a matter of getting everything in there and then tweaking it for however long you want to tweak it after the fact, and then you'll be set.
I tell you what, Keith, I'll try to be monitoring today, or you've got my cell phone. If you do come up with that steel for the project, let me know.
I have not talked to him yet, but I will get with him pretty quick this morning. We have a morning meeting at 8:30, so it'll probably be after that. That was one of the reasons I was telling you I probably wouldn't be able to get it together before you was over here.
Roger, roger. All right. Well, hope to hear from you, and I'm headed your way. I am Seneca bound. Y'all carry on, and I'm listening.
Mobile in traffic, and interesting discussion.
4BX, I forgot your first name. Is that Chris?
Roger, it's Chris.
Fantastic. Now, you're doing some DMR too, aren't you?
Started. I was just kind of looking at it last weekend. Something popped up in email, and I started went down the rabbit hole a little bit, but I haven't bought anything yet. What kind of radio? Who makes this? Is it TYT? I see there's a whole bunch of different Chinese radios out there.
Everybody has their personal opinion. mine, and I have limited experience, but so far, with the quality of workmanship and the quality of audio and transmission, I've been very, very happy with the Anytone radios that I have. I've got a 578 mobile, and I've got an 878 HT, and I like them. They're pretty good stuff. Now, actually, they're not going to be as good as a Motorola. Nobody beats Motorola. They just put out the best stuff around. But for the price and quality level, I like the Anytone.
You know, Motorola handheld units probably are $1,500 or $2,000, you know, so big difference in price, and of course, you know, performance is associated with that, but yeah, okay, Anytone, that was the other manufacturer I was trying to think of. Very good. I'll keep that in mind as I continue down the path. Like I said yesterday, I was thinking of getting a home hotspot and an HT to put my feet in the water, primarily to hit some talk groups that are available, you know, over the internet kind of stuff. So, some areas that I'm interested in. But eventually, it would be, you know, like what you're doing, getting, you know, something in the car for, you know, using the actual local repeaters and talking to people using the DMR and in digital. So I've kind of been behind the curve on that whole digital thing.
Yeah, hey, Patrick, are you still in there?
Roger that. I'm just sitting here listening. KO4HKX.
Advice for Chris there?
I started with the Anytone from Bridgecom. Bought the system because I didn't know anybody else that had anything to do with it. So I bought the plug-and-play system so I could learn it and take it apart while I was using it. And for me, that seems to have been easier in learning it because I can see it and I can manipulate the buttons and all that while I'm watching the videos. Like they say, a lot of the videos that are out there are just hard to follow and they miss information that's key to it. But the thing about Bridgecom, buying it from them, they have what they call the Bridgecom University you get for free. And it's videos that they specifically put together to teach you how to use the system. From programming your code plug, updating the firmware, how to use the radio, just how to use the hotspot, all of it. So that has really helped me along the way.
Bluetooth, so you can connect it to That's the one I've got now. I've not got the fully programmed because I'm working on another fella's radio at the moment. So programming will be coming soon to the Anytalk.
I learned the structure and figured out how. Programming the Anytone is pretty easy.
I'd recommend Anytone. They are much easier than all the structure's all basically the same, but the program itself, the BTS itself, is much handier in the Anytone stuff because you can easily import and export everything. So it's it worked out really nice. Anyway, guys, I got to get a lot of work there, so we'll talk to y'all later. PN4GHY, y'all carry on.
PN4GHY. Have a good day, Keith. Thank you for the information.
Keith, have a good day. KO4HKX.
KOVX.
A little scratchy over here. I'm out on Highway 11, just about to pop up on 25.
Everybody this morning, I'm sitting here where I'm normally at and have no trouble, and everybody's scratchy this morning.
It's because I had parted my hair the wrong way this morning, or I wasn't holding my mouth right. Okay, well, alright. Well, I wonder what's going on up there.
Idea, but that retransmission was rock solid, no bacon frying, nothing.
On Highway 11, about to come up on 25, and you know how that is. If I keep transmitting right here, it's gonna get down in the weeds again real quick because I'm going right back down into a little hole. You know, it's up and down and up and down over here. Is that about right? I'm back down in another hole?
I think there was something going on with the repeater. I know yesterday it was having some real trouble.
The other night, during the net, I mean, it was rough.
I took my HT with me because I knew we was going to be out late and I was in the wife's vehicle. But where I was at, I knew I'd be able to hit it, the repeater. I couldn't even hit it. I couldn't even listen to it. So I don't know what was going on Sunday night.
Question. Do you really mean to tell me that your wife will not allow you to put a radio in her vehicle?
She doesn't allow me, but I would prefer not to. Because of consequences that may come my way.
I know how that translates. Don't with Chris.
Well, she's been driving my truck and I've been driving the car just for gas mileage, so she's kind of got it by default.
License, Chris?
One of these days, maybe, but I've been working on her for, you know, going on 30 years and haven't been successful yet.
I've been working on her, and I've made some headway. She sees some advantages to it, but still not ready to commit. She's afraid she can't pass the test, and I'm like, it's not that hard to get your technician's license. It's really not that hard.
My wife says I'll let you know when I'm interested, and that still doesn't mean that I'll take the test. That's her nice way of saying I'll grow the garden, you do the radio.
I have to hop out of here, Chris. Steve, it's good to talk to you this morning. I've got customers coming my way, so I'm going to say 73. KO4HKX, clear.
Have a good day, buddy. Be careful out there. And hopefully we'll both find some diesel at below $4.50 a gallon. Have a good day, KN4 VWA.
One lot. So I'll say 73s, KN4 VWA. Steve, good to chat with you. Patrick as well. 73s, W4VX, and I'm QRT.
Hey, buddy. Get in there and get it knocked out of the park. 73s, KN4 VWA. On my way to Seneca. Monitoring.